So there's this terrifying body of people who will kill to support the blasphemy laws as they are. But there's an equally passionate body of liberal opinion in Pakistan who thinks that the blasphemy laws as they are an abomination. But no one's going to go on camera and say that.
Hello and welcome back to the Unreported World podcast. I'm Krishnan Gurumurthy. Each week, I talk to the reporters from our Channel 4 series about the country they've been to, the people they've met, and the themes that have stuck with them from their journey. And with me today is Marcel Theroux, who has been to Pakistan, which has some of the strictest blasphemy laws in the world. 97% of the country's population are Muslim, and insulting the Prophet Muhammad, in some cases, is punishable by death. Lawyers in the country are literally risking their lives to help appeal against death sentences for families who say their loved ones were wrongly accused. But they're faced with the fierce determination of those in the legal system who have made it their mission to bring the death penalty to anyone who has insulted the Prophet's name. Marcel, it sounds like it was a real eye-opening trip.
It was amazing. It was extraordinary, actually.
So what was the main story you followed?
Well, as often happens with Unreported World, as you know, the story that you go to follow isn't necessarily the story you end up with. That's probably an understatement, right? But actually, in this case, we almost got the story we went out to cover, which was there's a lawyers association called Khatam al-Nubuwwat Lawyers Forum. They're a kind of group of activists who pressure to have the death penalty applied in blasphemy cases. And this is their pro bono work to get people hanged for blasphemy. And they're led by a chap called Ghulam Mustafa Chowdhury. And our intention was to follow him, follow his work, and look at how he gathers evidence, look at how he brings cases for blasphemy, and show that side of the story. And he sounded like he was amenable to it. He was keen. But when we got on the ground, he was strangely reluctant to leave the office, and he didn't want to show us all the things he was going to show us when we spoke to him in the pre-production.
But what's very striking is that, you know, the Pakistan legal system is based on the British one.
Absolutely. As they tell you, it's based on British legal code.
Yeah. And so you have these lawyers who are dressed like the lawyers you see outside the high courts. They have very similar chambers. And here is this sort of urbane, apparently modern Pakistani talking about wanting blasphemers killed.
It would be good for you to explain to me, what is blasphemy in your mind?
Blasphemy, any person defile the sacred name of Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Any person defile any sacred name of any Prophet of Allah.
What is the appropriate punishment for blasphemy?
The punishment of blasphemy is only death. No alternate punishment. Death and only death sentence.
I mean, it's not just a kind of British legal system, it's like a Dickensian legal system. The Lahore High Court looks like something out of Bleak House, and there are these guys transcribing documents on old manual typewriters, and, it's kind of amazing. But, yes, you meet this guy, Ghulam Mustafa Chowdhury, and he's very charming, and he was always, you know, he's very friendly to me, but on this he's absolutely adamant. And it's actually one of the paradoxes of the Pakistani legal system. This isn't, the death penalty for blasphemy isn't part of Sharia law, it's part of the criminal code. It isn't Sharia. This is a crime.
But what's driving him? I mean, is he a very devout Muslim, or is he? What is he doing?
Well, that's the question. Well, obviously, I asked him, and he said, you know, that the other activists all said variations of the same thing, which is it's their duty as Muslims that they passionately believe that it's profoundly wrong to blaspheme against the Prophet, and this is the mandated punishment. And I did talk to some other people in my researches who said, you know, that if you do digging, there's stories behind the stories. It's true that a lot of the cases, when you dig into them, and this is something that Pakistan's own Supreme Court has said, is that they actually arise from trivial disagreements that then become weaponized by the blasphemy accusation.
Do you mean people are using the blasphemy law to solve
right.
other disputes?
So right.
Neighbors at war saying,
well, say you and I are neighbors. I don't like the height of your Leylandii. And I'm having difficulty having you, you know, reduce. That's obviously ridiculous. But the minute I say, well, as a matter of fact, you know, Krishnan said something about the Prophet, it goes nuclear. And you see this in a couple of the cases, that somebody, maybe there was a trivial disagreement. Who knows what they really said? Maybe there's no witnesses in a lot of these cases apart from the complainant. But the Lawyers Forum go in at a very early stage, and they and Ghulam Mustafa Chowdhury represents the complainant in all of these cases. And once it enters the legal system, it's like a bomb that no one can defuse.
But what you dig into in this film is the question of whether this is what Pakistan wants.
Yes.
So is Pakistan in tune with what's going on?
It's hard to say without canvassing everyone in the country. And I think what we see is that there is a very vocal body, there's a very vocal body of support for this law. And we see them at the vigil for Mumtaz Qadri. And Mumtaz Qadri is a man who assassinated the governor of Punjab. And the governor of Punjab was a sort of liberal Pakistani politician who spoke out against the blasphemy law. And this man, Mumtaz Qadri, his bodyguard, took it upon himself to assassinate Salman Taseer. He was hanged, but his body now sits in a memorial.
Treated like a hero.
Outside Islamabad. He's a hero. He's a martyr for the people who want to stick up for the blasphemy laws as they are. They don't. And, the fact that a politician was murdered means that no politician wants to be the next Salman Taseer.
Our breath could stop, but our mission to honour the Prophet will never stop. You should understand the passion Muslims feel for our Prophet and not aggravate the situation.
So what kinds of people did you encounter, and families that did you encounter, who have been prosecuted?
So there were a couple of cases. There were more, actually, than we were able to fit into the film.
And are they all non-Muslim?
Yeah, they were all... Well, that's an interesting question. The main characters in the film are Christian, and that was just who we found, who we were able to speak with. Actually, numerically, there are more Muslims embroiled in blasphemy cases than any other religious group. But proportionally, religious minorities get the worst of it. And I think, again, proportionally, the worst affected minority are the Ahmadi Muslims. And they're in a special kind of, they're in a special hell of their own at the moment in Pakistan, because I'm sure you're familiar with Ahmadis, but they identify as Muslims, but they, because of certain doctrinal differences with Shiite and Sunnis, their beliefs are considered heretical. And they're more or less criminalized by the legal code, by blasphemy laws. And so one of the cases was that I discussed with Mr. Chowdhury was some Ahmadi Muslims who'd gone into a shop in a village outside Lahore, and there was an anti-Ahmadi sticker on the shop counter, and there'd obviously been an argument about it. And the men had ripped the sticker off the counter. But in that act, the sticker had a holy seal on it. It literally had the name of the Prophet on it. By damaging that, and it ended up in a dirty drain, allegedly, that was dishonoring the Prophet.
This is the original sticker, which was torn and thrown in the drain. This is the seal of last prophethood.
And will you do your best to see that the death sentence is upheld?
Inshallah.
Will you be happy to see these men die?
Alhamdulillah. We are not only the happy, but also we bow our head before the Allah for our success in this case.
One of the men was murdered while he was in custody, and the other three were sentenced to death. So, it beggars belief that should be a capital crime.
You did get to speak to people in authority, though, about why this is happening and where it's going and why it's happened. What kind of explanation did you get?
Well, the senior lawyer that I spoke to, who also advises the government, explained that it's going to take time to untangle it. And it was a kind of plea for understanding. Because while on one hand you think that actually condemning it robustly from the outside world is our duty, right? In some ways it also makes, I think the paradox is that some ways it strengthens the hand of the of those people who say there's a sort of Western plot to undermine Islam.
The blasphemy laws, that is our internal issues, yes. The death penalty cannot be abolished as per the existing laws in Pakistan. We are suffering from a society which has been ridiculized from past 40 years. Give us allowance and give us concession. We're living in a tough times.
Because how successful has this group of lawyers been in actually prosecuting people and getting them executed?
Well, they've certainly prosecuted a lot of people, but the fact is no one's been executed for blasphemy, and the Supreme Court hasn't upheld a single death penalty. So on the evidence of what's happened, it feels like it's actually an uphill struggle, that the legal opinion high up is against them. I don't think my supposition is that no Supreme Court judge in Pakistan wants to be the first to uphold the death penalty for blasphemy, because it would bring down opprobrium on the nation.
So how are they not?
How are they not
executing
doing
people? I mean, on what grounds are they turning these things away?
Well, the Asia Bibi case, which came before the Supreme Court last year, and her acquittal was upheld. I think they said the evidence was insufficient. I think is what it came down to. And Ghulam Mustafa Chowdhury had his own take on that, because he was actually involved in that case, and he kind of presented it as a sort of qualified victory for him, because he said, well, they never said that she didn't actually blaspheme, but they didn't execute her, and that's the key thing. And I think the fact is that when you look harder at a lot of these cases, the evidence isn't very robust. It really relies on or maybe one witness at best.
So it sounds like you've spoken to sort of two groups of lawyers who say very, very different things.
Yeah.
You know, one group who think this is progress and this is helping Pakistan develop and be a devout country, and another group who are saying, this is a product of radicalization, give us some time, we need to unwind this.
Yes, that's right. That's sort of where the country, stands. And with that paradox, you know, we leave you, viewer, because
unable to say who's right.
Yeah, and who, and where do you go? Where do you go from here? And how do you move on from here?
What do you think this story tells us about Pakistan right now?
You know, I think it's this Pandora's box of Islamization I felt like I'd seen a similar thing in Malaysia, reporting from there for Unreported World, that a moment that a government, for political reasons, chooses to side with elements of radical Islam, you empower this dangerous tendency, which then takes on a life of its own. It becomes very, very difficult then to put it back where it was before.
Well, Marcel, thank you very much indeed for telling us about it. It's a fascinating film, now available to watch on All4 and on the Unreported World YouTube channel. Thanks very much for listening to this podcast. Until next time, bye-bye.